Good to be with you. It's Josh Teague. I'm the member for Hyson. I'm the deputy leader of the State Liberal Party, and I'm the Shadow Attorney General, Shadow Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, Shadow Minister for Child Protection.
Thank you so much for joining us today. So first of all, you came in with a new leader, Ashton Hearn, who replaced Vincent Tarsia in December. So how do you reflect on the past few months with, you know, not a lot of time with a new leader?
Well, what's been so clear over the last few months is that's been the campaign period ahead of the election that's now just a few days away. In fact, voters have already commenced voting at the pre-poll early voting booths. This whole time has been about presenting to all of South Australia our alternative for government, and Ashton Hearn as our leader has been leading the way and so brilliantly well getting around the whole state and including the Adelaide Hills that I'm so proud to represent, the seat of Hyson.
And following on from that, how do you reflect on the last term of government?
I think what South Australians have seen more and more clearly, really, including as they have focused on the choice that's ahead of them at this election, is that they've seen a government that has been increasingly focused on PR and politics over substance. Let's face it, this is a government that got elected on a great big slogan. No one will forget the fact that they were bombarded with great big signs ahead of the last election where Labor said they needed to vote like their life depended on it and that they would fix the ramping crisis. And of course, we've seen the opposite has happened. Ramping has doubled under Labor. The health system has lurched from one crisis to another. And when faced with real problems of substance, the Labor government has responded with PR, political damage control, rather than by addressing the substance. So I think we've seen really too much PR and politics and not enough in terms of substance. And that's why South Australians are finding that it's not affordable to live in South Australia. We've got to turn that around. They need a better health system. And of course, we need safe and strong communities, and we've seen a crime wave that's just been getting increasingly more and more of a crisis, and that's been felt all the way across the state.
You know, this is quite a pivot. We spoke with the Deputy Premier yesterday, who said that Labor is really proud of their ban on conversion practice and indicated that their party wouldn't be considering changes around individual freedoms on gender and identity. Where do the Liberals stand on that?
A conscience matter, I'm not aware of any proposed changes, really. From our point of view, South Australians are focused, as we are, on the important things for them, the important choice at this election, and that is a more affordable South Australia, a better health system, and safer and stronger communities. Ashton Hearn, as our leader, has been going about every day setting out those priorities. That's a really important thing, I suppose, to remember, we're focused on the choice that South Australians have ahead of them at this coming election, and those are our key priorities.
One of the unavoidable aspects of this election campaign has been the rise of One Nation, at least in the polling. We're obviously yet to see that materialise. But do you feel there's a pressure as the Liberals to try and perhaps win back those disaffected voters that could move to One Nation? Has that changed the approach of the Liberals this time around?
Well, Noah, it's a really good question. And I think, can I answer it this way? When South Australians are feeling as though the cost of living is going through the roof, they're struggling to get a home, their children are not necessarily going to be able to find the home that they're after and are finding it difficult to afford the day-to-days, then you can understand that grievances mount and people's frustrations with government come to the fore. One Nation is a grievance party. They'll tell you all sorts of things that they say is wrong with what's going on. And I think it just goes to the frustrations people have with these last 4 years. Labor's blown the budget, massive debt. We're heading out towards $50 billion in debt, and they've blown their agency departmental budgets to the tune of nearly $5 billion just over the course of these 4 years. People are frustrated. The profile, I suppose, of a grievance party speaks to that. We've got to rise above it. We've got to do better, and we've got to offer solutions. We've got to offer ways forward, and not just saying to people, well, you know, go and put your vote somewhere as an expression of grievance. In terms of offering that choice to South Australians, we make so clear we're about making a more affordable South Australia with better health system and stronger communities.
Yeah, if I can just quickly jump in with, we've also seen some of the one of the Liberal candidates been criticised and essentially dumped over controversial views on same-sex marriage, gender transitioning and feminism. Is there a bit of a branding crisis for the Liberals following that?
As Emma asked me right at the outset, how have we gone with our leader, Ashton Hearn, over this important time? Ashton demonstrated leadership straight away, has dealt with that matter. That candidate's no longer a candidate for the Liberal Party. I think that's what leadership is all about, being able to act decisively when it matters and make it clear that we're focused on the things that matter for South Australians, not those matters. And that's really been dealt with by Ashton as our leader very decisively.
Another really significant issue for South Australians over, you know, almost a year now is the algal bloom. Mm. It's devastated coastal communities. There's been significant criticism of Labor's management of the situation and public health directives, particularly with recent Four Corners exposure. How do you react to Labor's management of the situation?
You know, with real dismay, Emma, I have to say, and you've summed it up really very well, when you have a major crisis, what is so important is that you do your very best as government to level with the people, level with everybody, so that we can all be on board with what is actually going on. Your listeners all the way around South Australia will have their own experience of what was very obviously a growing crisis all the way through last year. And yet for so long, month after month after month, we had a government telling us that it's not toxic, minimising the situation, even going to the point where it appears government officials were intervening in terms of, you know, the words used by scientists actually grappling with the crisis as it was emerging. It's a really good example of how when a government goes down the path of too much PR and politics, can really lose the confidence of the people very quickly. So it's a serious matter. We need to get back to making sure that the substance of the science is what people are dealing with. That's why we say you've got to make a change in order to get back to that substance. Our track record in government and dealing with the COVID crisis is just that contrast. You know, you wouldn't want to have been anywhere else but South Australia during COVID. And that was for the reason that the Liberal government leveled with the people of South Australia at every turn. That was a very difficult, unprecedented, once-in-a-century situation.
Just briefly on that, do you feel any, perhaps, responsibility for Nicola Spurrier's role in the algal bloom? She's been pointed out as perhaps someone of concern in that process, as you mentioned, signalling to scientists to change the wording of some reports. Do the Liberals feel any sort of responsibility for her being in this role of chief health officer?
I can say that from first-hand experience, I know that the chief health officer had a tremendously important role to play in managing the COVID-19 pandemic, a serious crisis. I think the real responsibility for what's occurred here lies at the feet of the government, because we do have top-level experts who serve the government, who advise it. It's the responsibility of the Premier and responsible ministers in the government to make sure that they are levelling with the people at every turn. South Australia, we are fortunate to have access to the very best. The government's got to make sure that it's leaning into making sure South Australians get access to that best information quickly. And that means that you can act to provide the necessary supports to businesses, to those who need to know how to respond in order to survive and thrive.
Moving to another completely different topic, the voice to Parliament, the Liberals have expressed their intention to scrap that, as we haven't really seen necessarily outcomes from it that were promised. Khayyam Ma is pretty confident that it has been cost recovery in its own way. He said that the cost, even just in a remand facility example, has covered the cost of the voice itself. What else is your concern with that model, and what's the alternative to make sure that First Nations outcomes actually improve?
You hit the nail on the head right there at the end. No, the focus must be on making sure that there is improvement, that there is effective and productive dialogue and that we are actually acting in the interests of all South Australians, and in this case in particular, Aboriginal South Australians. Do you know, the voice, which was legislated now going on some years ago, I described right at the outset as a defective model, a model that was set up to be limited in its functions, to be not able to do the productive work that Aboriginal people expect of government and interaction. Right from the start, it was limited in terms of the number of meetings it could hold every year, limited in terms of its capacity to engage in any meaningful way with the parliament. It's called a voice to parliament, and there's a right for Aboriginal people to have a representative stand up on the floor of parliament and contribute to a debate. That hasn't even looked remotely like happening. And what it's replaced are bodies that had existed, in some cases for decades, that had real capacity to do productive work. We want to reinstate the parliamentary committee that existed before, that had the possibility to compel evidence. It had the benefit of parliamentary privilege and could engage as between elected members of the parliament and leaders of Aboriginal communities across the state. Now, it's just one of many pieces in the puzzle. But I'm afraid to say that try as we did for years after the legislation commenced to say, all right, if this can work, we'll do our very best to help that happen. It hasn't worked because the structure of it is just set up to fail. And it looks too much like a great big thing that's been packaged up and put a ribbon around it by parliamentarians on North Terrace, but that actually doesn't have the capacity to work. Now, I've worked with the presiding members of The Voice, and I've heard them say, we don't want to be the ones who were there when The Voice failed, but I have absolutely every sympathy and empathy for them because they're working within a structure that just doesn't serve the Aboriginal people as well as other more productive models can. And that's what we're committed to doing to achieve better practical outcomes. And the money, by the way, that is committed to the voice structure can be better deployed elsewhere. I've heard it from the Commissioner for Aboriginal Children and Young People, for example, just how well community constables work in different parts of the state when there are career pathways set up for Aboriginal children and young people to see a career path within police. The Shooting Stars that support young women, particularly in Whyalla at the moment, and that can expand in many ways like Clontarf has over the journey, that's connected to sport and school attendance. Those are two areas where we want to apply money directly so that we can boost young women attending school and progressing in their sport and young Aboriginal people being able to participate in community constable opportunities.
I did notice that you have a policy where you would promise $240 million to reduce regular Adelaide Metro fares to 50 cents, a policy supported, we've seen it being supported by the Greens and implemented by Labor in Queensland. So it's not often that we see Liberals campaigning about public transport as such. So why now?
I think what's so important, I said right at the outset that South Australians have become anxious and frustrated about the high cost of living. And this is one area in which we can achieve a whole range of advantages all at once. So we want to have South Australians using public transport services. And by the way, we're committed to improving public transport services, particularly in the regions, so that people not only have affordable access to public transport, but they also have the services available to them so that they can actually use those services practically. It also has the flow-on benefit, of course, of reducing the number of cars on the roads. That's a good environmental measure. Coming from the hills as I do and knowing the pressure that's on the Southeastern Freeway, making sure that it's safer to be using that very important piece of infrastructure is key to it all as well. And we have commitment to build more park and ride at Verdun, a third lane on the freeway, Harndorf to Bridgewater, where the RAA says it's the most acute choke point. All of those things augur into a greater number of people taking advantage of public transport services. The 50 cent fares has worked really well in Queensland. Queensland. We're committed to making sure that's available for South Australians after 21 March, just this Saturday.
Just looking at the role of the Liberals heading into the next government, there is like the polling is quite dramatic, and I suppose there's a lot of concern that it is an impossible hill for the Liberals to overcome. However, there'll still always be the shortfall in the upper house for whoever forms government. Do you see that being a space to form common ground with Labor? You've mentioned a lot about budgetary restraint. Do you think that that's a space to be genuinely constructive with the government? Have they ever been open to that?
Well, to your first point, Noah, as our leader Ashton Hearn said at the outset, we're climbing a mountain. There's no doubt about that. But at every turn, I think you've seen Ashton Hearn demonstrate what climbing that mountain looks like. As members of her team, I'm proud to be her deputy. And those of us who are working day to day alongside Ashton Hearn know you can climb mountains by doing the day to day work. I've got real energy and a positivity out of these first couple of days of the pre-poll even. You know, there's nothing like looking people in the eye as they're actually voting to debunk some of these wild polling and media stories. And I think we're going to see a very different result on election day than some of these helicopter view polls. We're there to win it and we're climbing that mountain. The result in the Legislative Council is a very important part of the whole election. We go district to district, of course, in the House of Assembly. The Legislative Council is a statewide vote. We'll see what the mix is, but almost inevitably, the government of the day doesn't have control of that house. We'll always work with the government of the day as constructive as we can. We're a party of government. We know what responsible government looks like, and we'll make sure that the parliament is functioning. But we're working on making sure we're in government doing that.
If I can just ask, though, on those budgetary things that you're talking about, like is the economic platform that you're really campaigning on, do you think that there is an appetite to actually work across party lines on some of those issues?
Oh, well, we've seen wherever there is actually a good idea, an idea of merit that's been proposed by the government, even in the course of this election campaign where the government's come along and said, here's an initiative we're announcing, Ashton and responsible members of our team have been quick to give credit to a good idea. Our leader did that just earlier in terms of specific measures to help those who are caring for dementia sufferers. And there are a range of ways in which we can work together. There's clear choice that's available at this election, of course. I just highlight again that getting the basics right, getting those important things right is so key. And for everything else you hear about grand promises, we've got a four-year legacy now of a Labor government that spent nearly $5 billion more than it budgeted.
You know, you have pointed a lot to Labor's acknowledged failure of ramping. You know, in terms of the oversaturated health system, what would be the broader Liberal alternative to that?
We'll certainly not be going about running the health system by slogans, nor will we respond to crises with PR and politics. What the Minister Picton has been shown to have done in recent days is nothing short of disgraceful in terms of responding to a complaint about the health system by presenting what turns out to be a false email that set out to discredit a grieving widow. Terrible set of circumstances. What we won't do is say, we'll fix it all tomorrow. What we will do is put in place measures across the board to ensure that we have a health precinct continuing at the old women's and children's hospital sites so that there are places for people to go when they're ready to leave hospital. We'll ensure that we attract and retain more frontline staff so that the burden that's been placed on emergency departments can be eased. And we'll go about it as we did when we were in government. Remember when we had to rescue the state from the failed transforming health? Well, we're in very much the same sort of situation. Labor closed the repat. It had a great big banner, story about transforming health in South Australia. And it all came to a total disaster. When we were in government, we went about administering the health system in every way in order to work towards improvement. Now we see very much the same thing. A Labor government elected on a slogan, we'll fix ramping. What happens? It doubles. we end up in a disastrous ramping situation, a hospital system in crisis, and Labor even saying they want us to believe we're going to have a bigger health system. Well, I think South Australians will shudder at that. What we need is a better health system, one that is managed competently in the interests of all South Australians.